Well, good morning. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, as I extend a Merry Christmas plus a Happy New Year to each one of you. Hebrews chapter 11, we will not only close out another year, but we will also conclude our series today on the Hebrews, heroes of the faith. On the Hebrews, heroes of the faith, found in Hebrews chapter number 11. Now tomorrow's back to work for much of America, and many will be singing in unison that famous post-Christmas song, I-O, so back to work I go. I hope you had a joyful Christmas time, and I hope you can find time tomorrow in the next few days not only to go back to work, but also to find rest and God Himself. But let me ask you, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? I don't know why we ask those kind of questions, but I've already been asked, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? How about this? Perhaps a better question. Did you get everything God wanted for you at Christmas? That might be the more appropriate question for all of us. You, me, our radio listening audience, did we get everything we wanted for Christmas? We're talking about temporal gifts. What about what God wanted us to have? Beginning with salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the greatest gift ever given? If not, before you go home today, you can receive an after-Christmas gift. And how about the peace of God, the comfort of God, the time with families and loved ones? I hope you experienced a wonderful Christmas. I really do, and I know God still wants to pour into you His blessings. I was talking to some of the seniors this morning back in the Welcome Center. They said, Pastor, think about this. In a matter of 72 hours, the year 2019 will be here. And one said it's almost like space age to us. As children born in the early 1900s now, this is almost space age. Cars driving themselves, phones you carry in your purse, in your pocket, indoor electricity and plumbing, and my, how we all love those things this time of the year. But the following year will be 2020. It's very likely many of us never really thought about that. 2020. Probably not even your financial planners when you start putting together your portfolio 50 years ago, perhaps, in business. It's like everything is going to end at the millennium, at 2000. Dear friends, God gave us another year to feel His love and to love others. How many of you know being a Christian is more than just receiving? It's also giving. How many of you know that? You come to church to receive a blessing, but you also come to church to be a blessing. Take what you have learned and carry it out to a lost and dark world that desperately needs it. Well, that's why today's message is, let's finish this year big. Let's finish big as believers in Christ Jesus. And we've been making our trek, our sojourn through the Hebrew Hall of Faith or Hall of Fame. Beginning in verse number 4, we learned about Abel. Verse number 5 was Enoch. Verse number 7 was Noah. Hebrews chapter 11 is where I am right now, friends. And of course, Father Abraham found in verse number 8. Isaac and Jacob, verse number 9, Sarah, his loving wife, all these heroes of the faith. They weren't perfect, but they walked by faith and not by sight. And they left for us examples how we too can walk with God, how we can finish big here in 2019, just like they finished their lives big. We made our trek all the way up to verse number 29, where we learned the last time we were together about Moses. And how Moses led the Hebrew children out through the wilderness with the blessings of God on them. And they came through the Red Sea. And then following that, verse number 30, by faith, since we're in this faith chapter of the Bible, by faith they also saw the walls of Jericho falling down. And after they were compassed about 7 days, you know the story very well. And then came to a person that's found in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We learned about this earlier, or even as late as last week. A prostitute named Rahab. In verse 31, this by faith again, that is faith hall of fame, this harlot Rahab, she perished not with them there in Jericho. They didn't believe. Why? She had received the spies here with God's men who went to spy out the land to see God's promises for them. And the writer of Hebrews says, what more shall I say to you in verse 32? And he goes to list on many others, for the time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the other prophets. Folks, if you and I just considered all the great people of the Bible, we would be here for years. We've already looked at just a few, a sampling of some giants of the faith, and that's why I've titled this as a Faith Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Faith. But in verse 33, we kind of stop with the names. Let's consider their lives, these giants of the faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They sought this. They obtained the promises of God. Yes, even stopped the mouth of the lions. Now, you know the stories back in the Old Testament, stopping the mouth of the lions. Daniel wasn't only in the lion's den, friends. It would be correct for us to point out he was in the den of lions. Let me teach that again. Whenever I'm with boys and girls, we talk about Daniel being in the lion's den. You can be in a lion's den, and there's no lions in there. So whenever I teach, that's a wonderful account of God, not a fable, but a biblical story. I always talk about Daniel being in the den of lions. You see the difference? And look in verse 34. And quenched the violence of fire. Who's that remind you of in the Old Testament? Escaped the edge of the sword. And he looks, all this is just all these valiant efforts, how God protected them. Wonderful. In verse 35, even some women received some promises of God. That their children were raised, the dead raised back to life again. But a note says right in the heart of verse 35, but many of the earlier believers were tortured. They didn't experience this deliverance. And verse 36 said, others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. And talks about their imprisonment, the bonds, the chains, everything went in course, including Jesus Christ himself. And verse 37, just talking about these Hebrews. Everybody wants to be a hero. These Hebrew heroes that we've been considering for the last couple of months, some were stoned. Some were sawed asunder, sawn in two. And of course, legend tells us that Isaiah was sawn asunder. We can't prove that in the Bible, but that's what historians have passed down to us. These are people just wanted to go through life like me and you. And yet they're being tortured, ridiculed, imprisoned, sawn in two. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were poor, being destitute, afflicted, tormented as believers in God. And again, verse 38 talks about how they lived in the mountains and the dens and the caves and all these things. And these all, verse 39, they'd obtained a good report through their faith. They still didn't give up on their faith in God. We have this good report about these heroes listed here before us. Many of you have already underlined or circled them in your Bible. Even though many of them did not see the promise of the Messiah coming, that's what you see on the backside of verse 39, they received not the promise. Most died before Christ ever came. But they still had the same promise that you and I have today, that personal relationship with Almighty God. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made complete, mature, or perfect. And we normally stop right there. You say, wow, what a chapter in the Bible. I mean, the heroes of the faith from Noah all the way down to these other giants of the faith. We just stop right there. Would that be taking it out of context? Because the next verse says in chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore? Now, have you been in any of my classes on hermeneutics, rightly dividing the Word of God? Whenever you see a conjunction like and or but, or the word therefore or wherefore, you got to consider the context around it. That's just rightly dividing. That's just good biblical interpretation. So wherefore should be included. Chapter number 12 should be taken in view of chapter number 11. Let me say it again. Chapter number 12 of Hebrews should be taken in view of chapter number 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded, compassed about, with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, such a debate. Who are these witnesses? Who are these witnesses in heaven we're surrounded about watching us? I submit to you a great possibility is the people listed in chapter 11. Does that make sense? It's talking about them and others. We're surrounded about this great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and the sins which does easily beset us, the sin of unbelief especially. And then let us run with patience the race that is set before us, just like these heroes did. And what are we supposed to do in verse number 2? You're supposed to be cross-eyed. Keep your eyes on the cross. Look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Not your experiences, not my experiences, not the world's experience, not our government right now being shut down, or a football game, win or loss over the last few holidays here. No, keep your eyes on Jesus. As we finish big this year, He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. You're talking about a hero. How about Christ Himself, God in the flesh? He despised the shame. And now He's sitting at the right hand of the throne there of God. Consider Him, it says in verse number 3. My favorite Corrie ten Boom quote comes from verse number 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus. She said this, if you keep your eyes on the world, you'll be distressed. You keep your eyes on yourself, you'll become depressed. If you keep your eyes on Christ, there and there only will you find rest. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you know who I'm talking about when I mention Corrie ten Boom? Her life, absolutely. I received some wonderful Christmas cards this year. And maybe it's just my age, but I want you to know I read each and every one of them. And we plastered them all around our house, especially those that were just, you know, riddled with scripture and personal notes. But Miss Thelma Walton, Velma Walton better, Miss Velma sent me just a special card this year. And the quote here from Billy Graham on the front really just gave me peace that I needed this Christmas. Listen to what Dr. Graham said as shared on this Christmas card. Only Christ can meet the deepest needs of our world and our hearts. Christ alone can bring lasting peace. Peace with God. Peace among men. Peace with nations of men. And peace within our own hearts. Only God can bring about true peace. Well, how can we find this peace? Look in verse number 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Friends, when I look back on Hebrews chapter 11, there's not a person here that I'd like to trade lives with. Wouldn't you like to be listening to Hebrews Hall of Fame? The Hall of Faith? Not necessarily. Each one of them had their own trials, their own struggles that they went through, just like you and I are going through. But I like to be found favorable in God's eyes. I know my name is listed there in the presence of God because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The true meaning of Christmas, how about you? Consider with me again you giving someone a gift of Christmas. And you gave your very best to them. And you give the gift to them. They've already opened up all the other gifts. And you give them the one special gift. You just know it's just going to absolutely blow them away. And they go, isn't that nice? And they shove it underneath the tree. I might consider it later. Wow. We could come up with words like disrespectful, hurtful, shameful, prideful, all those things. That's a picture of someone who gets a myriad of gifts at Christmas, and God says, but I want to give you more from me personally. I want to give you salvation. I want to give you peace. I want to give you assurance. I want to give you my personal presence. You just take it and you shove it underneath the Christ tree. I might open it later, but what if you don't? It's just left on a shelf someplace, or maybe put in an attic. Think about this. Finish now 2019. How can you and I finish big in 2019, just like these heroes of the faith? Well, we got some commonalities with them. These so-called heroes had two things in common. Number one, they had faith in God. Everybody say faith. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. They had faith in God. Starts there. And number two, one other thing these Hebrew heroes of the faith had, they're all dead. Now, you and I can't relate to that right now, but one day we too will taste death. They're in heaven. I believe every person down here listed in Hebrews chapter 11, this great cloud of witnesses, is in heaven. They had faith in God, but also they left this world and they're in the presence of God who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Perhaps like you, I enjoy reading different statistics and periodicals and things at the close of each year. At the close of every 12 months, you'll see on the headlines, great events of the year. It could be the fires of California. It could be the tsunamis. It could be tragedies. Somebody released from prison, whatever it may be. But one of my favorite things is not really morbid. One of my favorite things I enjoy reading are those who also died, just like these heroes of the faith. These are people who died during the last 12 months of 2019. And I got a magazine that was sent to me by a religious publisher. And so 2018 News of the Year, and it chronicles a variety of events took place. But on the backside, it also said the deaths. Allow me just read some of my favorite. Of course, Dr. Billy Graham. Remember when Dr. Graham passed away and all the memorial services and all those things? I was thinking about Ken Berry. Ken Berry, you may not recognize his name, but they have this picture down here. And this was the person who starred in Mayberry RFD following Andy Griffith. He also played on Mama's Place and played on the Carol Burnett Show and many others. I think about George Bush. I mean, this was just published almost immediately following President Bush's memorial services. I think about Roy Clark. Who's ever watched Hee Haw? That was child punishment. I'm telling you, as a child. When I got in trouble, I wasn't allowed to go outside and play. You had to stay home on Saturday night. And I guarantee you, Hee Haw would be playing as torture. You have the president. You have Anthony Bourdain. And of course, you know his situation there. You have all these other giants of the faith, and as well as those who didn't believe. How about Aretha Franklin? You know, her father was a minister, an ordained minister. Aretha Franklin learned how to sing. Really, God gave her a gift in church. How about Stephen Hawking? Listen to how the author wrote about Stephen Hawking down here. Renowned English physicist, black hole theorist, and staunch atheist, who struggled for more than five decades from debilitating effects of Lou Gehrig's disease. He went out saying, "I'm an atheist." The last thing he said was he didn't believe in God. That doesn't make me angry. It makes me sad. But I'm looking at all the other people that died here. If you're a football fan, you know who Keith Jackson is. Keith Jackson was the voice of college football. And I'm just going through the pages here. I'm looking. I don't see my face down here. But I'm thinking about Senator McCain. I'm thinking about all these other people that passed away. Burt Reynolds. I mean, just all these people over and over and over again. Jerry Van Dyke. Wow. John Young, not Neil Young, but John Young, who commanded the first space shuttle mission in 1981, and many, many others. The immediate question that follows this list simply is, where are they now? Where are they now? Are they in heaven enjoying the comforts of God, the rest of God, the peace of God we've already learned about? Are they here with this greater cloud of witnesses that we've enjoyed in Hebrews chapter 11, now a little bit in chapter 12? Where are they now? I guess Perhaps a more appropriate question, once again, would be, where will you be 1 millisecond after you die, after I die? We always want to make a big impact on the world. We want to finish big this year. Certainly we do. Certainly we do. Certainly we do. But this is one time I'm going to encourage you to be selfish. Rather than trying to help the world, solve the world's problems and all those things, listen to this. I read one of the articles here in the same book that $93,502 were given by the New Orleans Saints owner, Gail Benson. And he spent this Christmas season as he just went to a local Walmart and he paid off 400 layaway Christmas programs they had there. He spent $93,500 just paying off debts people had accrued there at Walmart. I don't know if the man's a Christian or not. I know his quarterback is. He professes to be. But I'm just saying, all these people listed in Hebrews chapter 11, including our lives, we're allowed to be selfish and ask ourselves, where will we be 1 second after we taste death? Where are we going to spend eternity? That's God's greatest gift of all the stuff we got at Christmas. Don't pass up the greatest gift ever given, the gift of salvation. And of course, we find this standalone verse in Hebrews chapter 12. With this great cloud of witnesses, and now we're trying to do life, the writer says, let us run with patience. We've learned this before. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. As we finish big, look at the overhead. Finish big. Just finish the race. Be faithful. Don't quit. I was with David Jeremiah when he spoke on this very subject. Just in a pastor's conference. I know I have other ministers here. I'm not trying to say anything to upset anybody, but when I go to a minister's conference, it's just me. I take notes. I keep journals. So in the quietness of my moments, when I get alone with God, I see what David Jeremiah had to say, or Johnny Hunt had to say, or Dr. Al Mohler had to say, or Paige Patterson had to say, or what. I look back at those notes and I feast on those again. I drink from that well again. When I see a minister like this at a pastor's conference, yeah, impress me if you can. I don't get angry at that. I feel sorry for that person. They've lost their passion for the ministry. They've lost the respect for great men and women of the faith who poured themselves into the message. So I keep copious notes. Well, listen, from verse number 1 of chapter 12, David Jeremiah says this about running the race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 alone. He said, never be content just to compete. As a Christian, as a pastor, as a church, just being in the race, don't be content with that. Race to win. Win others to Jesus Christ. Do your very best. This is David Jeremiah, who is very athletic himself. Quite an accomplished basketball player, Cedarville and other schools. He said, do more than just ride the bench, be a part of the team, and everybody gets a trophy. He said, ladies and gentlemen, play to win. Compete. Give it your all. The second thing he says down here, you got to prepare. In order to compete, you got to prepare mentally and physically. He said, you just can't go out there and run a race. You can't compete in the Olympics. You can't compete in any kind of sporting event. You need to be trained. You're on a team. Give it your very best. And I'm looking at us as a church. And the Christian community is listening by the airwaves here. We can do so much more, Jesus Christ said, collectively, together, than he could do alone in his 3+ years here on planet Earth. And we know this to be true. That's why we have all the different ministries in the church. Get involved in a ministry. Be a specialist. Do one thing. You might be a sprinter. You may be a marathoner. You may be the person who paints the helmets at Notre Dame. You ever seen the documentaries on that? Before every game, they spray paint the helmets. And they have a patent on that sparkly gold helmet. And the guy who does this, spray paints the helmets before every single game, he sands them down and sprays them again. And he says, I'm part of this team. Hey, I'm not going to throw the ball or run the ball, but I'm part of this team. And David Jeremiah said, everybody's important. Play to win. Get on the team. Prepare mentally. And don't get distracted. I love this. He said, don't get distracted in the gates. I know Larry here, Larry Lilly, he used to run. I used to run. That was the easiest thing for your opponent to do. While you're lined up there in the blocks, he would try to throw you off your game. He would say inappropriate things to you, so you lose your mantra, your focus. And you look over his way, and next thing you know, the guns went off, and you're already a step and a half behind everyone else. David Jeremiah said, don't fall victim to the devil, all the wiles of the devil. Get in the game, yes. Participate as a team, yes. Give your very best, yes. Be prepared, yes. But be fully assured that Satan is not going to take a year off. You ever think about that, finishing big? What about Satan? Satan's not going to take a year off. Let me share some other stats from this wonderful little magazine. The number 85,000 doesn't mean much to us until you find out through Save the Children program. This is the approximate number of children below the age of five alone who died from starvation during a Yemen civil war. 85,000 children just overlooked, died. The government let it happen. The number of Christians in Iran the authorities arrested in the first week of December of this year was 114 Christians. In Iran, maybe they're on business, maybe they're, were found out to be Christians, and were mistreated, arrested, belittled, scourged. Every one of them had their cell phone stolen from them, belittled and kicked out of the country. 114. Don't think Satan's not going to finish big. Children starving. Christians being persecuted more now than any other time in the history of mankind. Christians, who we just want to spread the love of Jesus Christ. And a friend of mine was transferred to Hawaii. Specifically, he's an analyst specialist in Pearl Harbor. And for the first year since Obama in Pearl Harbor, zero. 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 Was a number of survivors from the USS Arizona in attendance of that infamous day. They've all died off, or they're so sick they couldn't be there. And I asked a few people on December the 7th, what historical tragedy took place in America on this same day, 1941? Nobody knew. I'm not shaming anybody. But dear God, if we're going to finish big, let's not lose sight of Jesus Christ who died for us. Let's not lose sight of those in America who died so we could be here. Let's not lose sight of our calling to be in the race. Look in verse number 1 again. Just like these other heroes were. David Jeremiah says, refuse to be paralyzed by the past. Oh, boy, the devil loves to do that. We become historical. Yeah, but somebody hurt me in the past, or I'm going through a hard time, or God wasn't there for me, or whatever it may be. We'll talk about that next week in our time of communion together. The fourth thing he said in closing, stay focused on the finish line. Keep your eyes on the prize. Look in verse number 2. Look unto Jesus. Jesus and his calling on your life. I had a fifth step here in running the race. Just be patient. Be patient. Run with patience. Can I get you to turn with me back to the left, please? Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we're nearing our closing of Hebrew heroes of the faith. Luke chapter 2, no doubt you know as being the Christmas story. Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2 houses stand alone, the most condensed, concise portion of the Bible of the Christmas story. Well, in Luke chapter 2, we know all about the shepherds. We know all about the coming of Christ the King in the manger, mom and dad, and this and that. The circumcision 8 days later. Absolutely, absolutely. But you find someone named Simeon. He's one of my heroes of the faith. He's often overlooked. He and Anna, this older woman, who also just participated in the Christmas story, we forget about them. But if you look down here in verse 25 for sake of time, this is after the birth of Christ, after all the trimmings, after all the turkey and the ham and everything was eaten, after all the oyster stew, after all the stuff we do, you still find a few people like Simeon who wasn't ready to give up on God. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, verse 25 of Luke 2, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He waited to see the Messiah. He said, I'm not going to give up on this. I'm going to finish big. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he would not taste death. He was not going to die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit to the temple when the parents brought in the child, being Jesus, to do after the customs of the law, which you read in a previous portion of this scripture. Then he took Jesus up in his arms, blessed God, and said, as you have promised, Lord. That's what he's really saying here in basic English language. As he blessed God, holding the baby, the Christ child, he said, as you have promised, Lord, my life now is complete. Verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to your word, because, verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation. You see that? I'm asking you again, have you tasted God's salvation? Have you seen salvation? Have you seen the clarity of the scriptures? More than just the shepherds and all that. Have you seen? Are you going to finish out the year big with your eyes on Jesus? Go back to Hebrews 11. We're about to close. Hebrews 11 and 12, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas once again? Did you get everything God wanted you to have for Christmas? Being the peace, love, joy, assurance, and so much more, and especially salvation. Let me get the guys in the back to advance a slide up here. I want to give you a report from IMB, the International Mission Board. I don't know if you can see this on the overhead or not, but this is last year. When we do our annual church profiles, known as the ACP reports, it's very important that collectively some 46,000 Southern Baptist churches, we send reports. The activity we experienced on behalf of God to the glory of God. And this was a year ago. Looking back at 2017, I received this at a mission board just recently. I thought it'd be great to share with you today. There are many ways we can celebrate this past year, not 18, but 17. The fruit of God that he brought. 87,000 plus new believers were recorded. 45,000 plus water baptisms. 4,500 churches were planted. 937 people groups were engaged. Think about that. 937 people groups were engaged. 1.6 million people heard the gospel. And nearly 13,000 pastors were trained to the glory of God. God was good to us a year ago. I'm anxious to see what the reports are this year. Right here in this church. We've already exceeded our International Mission Christmas goal for our missions offering for this year. I think that's worthy of giving God a round of applause. Can we do that together now? Let's thank God. When I think back over this year, the people that accepted Christ as Savior, they were discipled, they were baptized right behind me. And our gracious Lord bringing new people to the church. I don't want to call some out, but I know how to look at others. As well the faithfulness of many of the rest of you already here. 2018 was a good year. It wasn't a perfect year. It was a good year. But it's not time for us just to coast. It's not time for us just to compete. It's time for us to look in verse number 12, or verse number 1 of chapter 12, as well as verse number 2, to stay in the race, to stay in the race, to stay in the race. Dr. Bailey Smith was a president of the Southern Baptist Convention. In my estimation, behind D.L. Moody, Bailey Smith is one of the greatest soul winners who ever walked soil here in America. Dwight L. Moody was in the 18th century, from 1810 to 1899 is when he died, I believe. Bailey Smith, a good old country preacher, who just loved God and believed the gospel, and just went and shared Jesus wherever he went. God used him over and over and over again. He was president of a convention, great church planter, a great pastor, a great author. And when you were with Bailey Smith, he always, as we preachers would say, he just hoed the corn. And I'll close with Bailey Smith's outline that I learned from him in 2006. Yeah, going back through my notes again from Hebrews chapter 12. About running the race. Listen to what Bailey Smith said in conjunction with what David Jeremiah said. If you want to be a hero, you got to pass the baton. You got to pass the baton. I'll never forget, we were in Charlotte, North Carolina, when Dr. Adrian Rogers, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about there, Adrian Rogers. Wow. Thank God for using Adrian Rogers. When his wife gave all of us a baton with one of the last things Adrian Rogers challenged us to do, there at our national convention, probably 6,000 ministers there at one meeting, and during our break, they had put batons. I still have it in my office over here locked up. And Adrian Rogers wrote us a love note and stuck it inside this baton. It's very similar to what Bailey Smith is saying right now about being this race. You can be a hero. Stay in the race. And for God's sake, don't let it die with you. Pass the baton. How? We must preach what these heroes of Hebrews 11 preached. What do they preach? Truth. Everyone say truth. Truth. God forbid. How many preachers are here today changing this word of truth into something that they prefer? That's the last warning in the Word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Bailey Smith, who, by the way, is still living, he said, guys, I'm going to die one day, but I'm passing it in down to the next man and the next man and the next man. Why don't you just do what these guys here did? Moses and Abraham and Joseph preached what they preached. Well, what did they preach? Truth. The truth of God. The second thing he said was, hate what they hated. You mean a Christian is supposed to hate? You're supposed to hate evil. We come to a day and an age, we're finishing big here in America. We're very, very comfortable. Do we really hate evil anymore? God does. There's six things, nay, seven, God says he hates. How can God, a loving God, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and other places, how can a loving God hate certain things? Take time to go back and read that in the Bible. You find that there in the book of Proverbs halfway through. Six things, no, seven things that God hates are despicable to him, and we welcome it in our lives and our churches today. It counteracts the truth that God gave us. So Bailey Smith is sharing to me, 2006, and other guys were together. I think we're at Virginia Beach this time, and now I'm sharing with you. Stay in the race. Finish big. Finish the race. Preach what these heroes preached. Hate what they hated. Evil. Not people, but evil. But love what they loved. What did the heroes love? They loved people. They loved God. Look at your neighbor right now, and don't say it. Just look at your neighbor and say, you're not the enemy. You're not the enemy. I love you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to finish out this year big. We're on the same team. You understand that? We're on the same team. If you know anything about the Summer Olympics of the 80s, we had, hands down, the winning team. And yet, our number one, two, and three runners didn't even get a run because the first team that went out should have been underhand pitch. They didn't pass the baton. When I heard a speaker at our own state convention talking about it, I remember sitting in front of the television set screaming, this was a chip shot. All we had to do was qualify. We had the fastest runners in the world, first, second, and possibly the third fastest runners in the world. We were just going to mop up and win every gold medal during the Olympics. And we didn't even get to compete because the first team had a sloppy handoff. They didn't pass the baton. Folks, I want us to finish big in our personal lives as a church and pass the faith down. When I saw children last week playing the piano, I'm still drinking from that well. I go to churches now, they don't even have a piano. Children go off in another building. They're to be seen and not heard. What are we doing? I think we understand. I think we're on mark here. When you mark, get steady, go. I think we're ready for 2019. And an easy way to do so is by looking at your newsletter you're sending in the mail. Would you take the 30-day challenge? That's my personal challenge to all of us, and I will never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. If you look on your calendar, as well as the backside there on the mission statements, the mission reports, would you take a 30-day challenge to listen just to Christian music? Anybody see that in the newsletter? Just Christian music. Well, I don't know what stations there are. You have 88.1, 90.5, 91.1. Just start in the 80s and work your way up. Just do scan on your car radio or at home, your phone. It'll pick up a bunch of radio stations. You have Spirit FM, The Journey, and many others. You like traditional music. You like the old hymns. You have FBN, BBN, all these others. We stand before God without excuse. You take a diet of Christian music for 30 days and come back and see me at the end of 30 days and tell me what your spiritual life is like. You know the Daniel's diet? Daniel's diet. Daniel and his comrades said, "We can't eat this slop." That's what they're saying in the Hebrew language. We can't eat this junk that the world's trying to give us. Won't you give us what is pleasing to our God? Then come back and see how we look. And the Bible says, and they were more fit than all the others. How about reading through the Bible in a year? Yeah, I've tried that. I usually get discouraged when I get to the book of Leviticus. But we have some formulas down there for you in your newsletter, as well as you can put on your phone. Every day, start your day. That means I got to get up 15 minutes early. 15 minutes. Wow. We can do this. It's a marathon. I'm challenging you as myself to finish big in 2019, but also run a good race next year. Let's pray about it right now. Dear God in heaven, wow, we've covered a lot of ground here in this one chapter of the Bible. This is just a sampling. You even recorded that, just a sampling. What else? Who else could you record? Wow. We thank you for the different lives and yet how you used each one of them uniquely. Rahab, wow, a harlot. Joseph, a type of Christ. Abraham, who couldn't wait on you. He couldn't be patient. He couldn't be patient. And now we have nations against nations because of he and his wife. But Lord, we're not casting blame and we're not puffing anybody up. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ as individuals and certainly as a church. Bless America. Bless our community. Bless our homes. Bless this church. So we in turn can be a blessing to others with the good gospel. No doubt, this same time next year, if you tarry, we'll be standing here considering hundreds of other people who have died. Wow. Celebrities. Well, what about those who aren't? And they still split hell wide open. Those who died in fires. Those who were shot down. Those who went to sleep last night and just didn't wake up. It's our privilege, not our prerogative, but our privilege, our obedience, our responsibility to be a D.L. Moody, to be a Corrie Ten Boom, to be a Bailey Smith and Adrian Rogers, to go and share the love of Jesus Christ with people who desperately need it. It's not our gift to them. It's your gift. So, Father, please extend your gift to those who may be here today, as well as those listening over the airwaves who have never received the gift, the free gift of grace, grace through faith equaling salvation. Touch them through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, King Jesus, for personally delivering us to the Father. We pray this in your name. Amen and amen.